Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits, exemption status, residential homestead over 65, and disability exemptions are granted to owners on their principal residence. These exemptions reduce the amount of tax a property owner pays. When a property owner no longer qualifies for one of these exemptions, the law requires them to notify the appraisal district. When the appraisal district discovers that a property owner no longer qualifies for an exemption, the appraisal district office is required to back assess for up to 5 years the amount that escaped taxation because of the invalid exemption. In order to avoid these back assessments, property owners should contact the appraisal district as soon as the exemption status changes. The same is true for properties receiving the special agricultural appraisal. The deadline to notify the appraisal district when the property use changes from agricultural is April 30th. These properties may be subject to a rollback tax. If you have changed your principal residence, contact the appraisal district office at 1301 East 8th Street or call 432-332-6834. Badges Clay Chute Fundraiser. The 9th annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Chute Fundraiser has been scheduled today and Friday at Win Walker Farms Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road, C-2801 Stanton. Registration check-in is 7:30 a.m. for both days. The event will include lunch and prizes. Sponsorships are available. To register, sponsor, or for more information, visit bustinforbadges.org. Dementia Care on the South Plains. The Alzheimer's Association West Texas Chapter, LUBIC, working in collaboration with partners, will present the 2022 Education Conference, Dementia Care on the South Plains, at 8:30 a.m. today at the Kipling Education Conference Center and Covenant Medical Center, Covenant Medical Center West Parking Garage, 6th floor at 21st Street and Louisville Avenue, Lubbock. This year's conference will aid families and professionals who care for individuals with dementia, understand the underlying progression of the disease along with possible treatment pathways. Featured conference speakers include Dr. Aryubala Reddy, Ph.D., Research Assistant Professor, Nutritional Sciences Department, Texas Tech University, will present her latest research, Neuromodulation in 3Ds, Depressions, Diabetes, and Dementia, which will address inflammation, diabetes and other risk factors, and Jenny Funk, M.A., Alzheimer's Research Champion and Director of Programs. Alzheimer's Association will address advancing the science, the latest in Alzheimer's and dementia research, and will review the landscape of Alzheimer's and dementia science, past, present, and future. Included will be a town hall forum where community leaders from healthcare, government, first responders, and others will hear from the community on the state of dementia care in the South Plains, gaps in service, and barriers to access care. CEUs will be provided for professionals. Register at bit.ly/dementiacaresp or call 800-272-3900. For more information, call 432-570-9191, extension 8031. Springcraft. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Springcraft at 3:30 today to 5 p.m. today at the library's activity room in the basement, 321 West 5th Street. Visit tinyurl.com/5n75xajf. Fundraiser dinner, an evening benefiting the Life Center with Speaker Jonathan Evans, will take place at 6:30 p.m. today at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor, donate, or for more information, visit tlcdonor.org/Odessa. Taste of the Permian Basin. The Texas Restaurant Association has scheduled Taste of the Permian Basin from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the Texas County Horseshoe Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Sponsor preview party will take place at 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and general admission will be from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. More than 30 Permian Basin restaurants will feature the best desserts in the area. General admission is $40 in advance or $50 at the door. Sponsorship opportunities are available. No stroller or carriers will be permitted. For tickets or more information, call 432-563-5233 or email pbra.info@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/2mnz8afd. COVID-19 news. By the numbers, Ector County, 37,485 total cases, 700 deaths. Midland County, 40,668 total cases, 495 deaths. Texas, 6,795,411 total cases, 87,892 deaths. U.S. cases, 80,588,854 total confirmed and 987,034 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Local news roundup. Man convicted of continuous violence against the family. An Ector County District Attorney press release detailed a 32-year-old man was convicted of continuous violence against the family on Tuesday. An Ector County jury found Ray Arevalo, 32, guilty of continuous violence against the family, a third-degree felony. The jury sentenced him to 9 years in prison and assessed a $5,000 fine. On August 29, 2021, Odessa Police Department officers responded to the Dollar Tree at 800 North Maple Avenue in reference to harassment, a previous Odessa American article detailed. Officers made contact with the victim, identified as Tina Torres, who stated she has been involved in an on-and-off relationship over the past 6 months with her ex-boyfriend, Arevalo. Torres told police that Arevalo has physically assaulted her in the past, and she has filed multiple cases against him. The first cases happened May 14th, while the second happened June 25th. Torres showed officers a scar on the left side of her cheek and stated on August 8th she was having an argument with Arevalo when he threw a cell phone at her which struck her in the face, busting open her cheek, the previous article detailed. Torres photographed her injuries the night it happened and the day after. Police say Torres provided officers with the photographs that showed her to have a 1-inch cut on her left cheek, which was consistent with her story. The prosecutors for the state of Texas were Assistant District Attorneys Henry Eccles and Gregory Barber. The presiding judge was the Honorable Justin Lowe in the 161st District Court. Arevalo was formally indicted on January 11th. He was represented in trial by defense attorney Felix Nebo and Daniel Sarabia, transient arrested in robberies. In Odessa, transient was arrested last week on suspicion of aggravated robbery in connection with a wreck that left two women in the hospital with serious injuries. According to an Odessa police arrest affidavit dated April 15th, employees at the Dollar Tree store on Andrews Highway near East 52nd Street told officers on February 21st they saw Javaris Edward Cook, 32, steal two packages of turkey hot dogs and two cans of chili from the Dollar Tree store and strike a Chevrolet Camaro as he left the scene with his $5 worth of stolen goods in a Nissan Altima. A short time later, witnesses reported seeing a Nissan Altima driving through a red light at a high rate of speed at 52nd Street and strike a Ford Escape occupied by two women, ages 26 and 58. Both women sustained serious injuries, and the driver of the Altima was identified as Cook, the report stated. Cook was arrested April 16th. Mold found in kolaches. Mold was found in breakfasts at three Ector County ISD schools Tuesday, according to a news release issued Wednesday. As breakfast was being served Tuesday morning, mold was found inside some of the kolaches at San Jacinto Elementary, Zavala Elementary, and Ector Middle School. The release detailed, upon discovering this, all the meals were immediately thrown away and cereal was served. School leaders and campus nurses were alerted to watch for students who might become sick. When the school day ended, no reports of illnesses had come in at any of the schools, and all kids seemed well. Despite that, parents should have been called to make them aware of the situation, the release detailed. The kolaches are a very popular item. This year, more than 350,000 have been served. Still, out of an abundance of caution, the decision has been made to remove them from the menu for the rest of this year. If they are served in the future, a few servings from each case will be opened and inspected before being sent out to kitchens. We take the safety of our students and staff very seriously and recognize the need to communicate effectively with parents, the release stated. Speaker, public education driven by agendas. Producing students who can read, write, and do math is one of the top priorities for Jeff Hunt's organization, the Centennial Institute of Colorado Christian University. Hunt, who is director of the Centennial Institute, has also been co-chairman of the Western Conservative Summit since 2015 and a regular writer in many publications nationwide, was the guest speaker at the Ector County Republican Women Luncheon Wednesday at the Odessa Country Club. He spoke to the Odessa American prior to giving his remarks. He organizes an event called the Western Conservative Summit, hosted by Colorado Christian University. Our think tank is housed in CCU, and so we host this event. It's one of the largest annual gatherings of conservatives in the country. It's in Denver, Colorado. We're talking about every issue out there. We'd like to talk about a lot of Western issues, but this year, a lot on education. That's a key issue for a lot of people, and as educators ourselves, we care about really good, quality education, Hunt said. They are concerned about issues such as parental rights in education, charter schools, what's happening in the classroom, voter integrity, federal land issues, oil and gas issues, and wildfires, to name a few. A lot of people don't know this, but the wildfires in California in 2020 put enough CO2 into the atmosphere to be the equivalent of 24 million cars driving for a year, Hunt said. A lot of conservative conferences won't cover those issues. If you look at CPAC, you look at Value Voters, some great conferences. They don't always cover Western issues. That's kind of what makes us unique, Hunt said. He said the oil and gas industry in Colorado has been strangled. So that's a big issue. Those are jobs, so we'll be covering all those issues. We'll host candidates up in Colorado, Some of our keynote speakers are Kayla McEnany and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Cal Thomas is getting our big award for National Conservative Leadership. A lot of our partner organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, Heritage Foundation, Americans for Prosperity, they'll all be at the Western Conservative Summit. Then today, during my speech, talking about the role and the importance of education in shaping future citizens. There's a lot of debate happening in education, whether you're in Florida, Governor DeSantis's new bill, Virginia, that drove a lot of the elections up there. The greatest change in education in American history is happening during these last few years, where people are looking at charter schools, homeschools. They want reform of the public schools, so we're talking a little bit about that too, Hunt said. As an institution, Hunt said, his institute wants an all-of-the-above approach to education. We want really good, got what we call government-run schools, which are traditional brick-and-mortar public schools. We want good charter schools that have a lot of freedom to be able to choose the type of education. My kids go to charter school in Colorado. It's a classical charter school. It's perfect for them. It challenges them. They're performing really well. We want charter schools. We want homeschools to be great options for a lot of parents. And then, you know, all of the other online charters as well. We're kind of a allow 1,000 flowers to bloom type of approach, Hunt said. He added that he thinks there are some really serious problems with government-run education. From my perspective, it's been dominated by agendas. And when I talk to a lot of parents, that's what they feel like is happening in schools. It's not about reading. It's not about writing. It's not about math. It's about agendas that are being driven to their children. When conservatives are pushing back, when you see the vitriol and the response coming back against conservatives, it just proves their point, Hunt said. Hunt said what he means by good public and charter schools are schools that produce students that can read well, write well, do math. We have really serious problems when you look at our standards. We are not performing well. So it feels like the main point of education has become secondary to social agendas that are being driven in school. So we've got to get the basics right, and we've not even doing that, Hunt said. Speakers at the Western Conservative Summit have included Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Kirk Cameron, Sarah Palin, Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Diamond, and Silk, Dana Loesch, Brandon Tatum, Dr. Albert Moeller, among others, the Republican Women website said. Hunt's writing have been published in USA Today, Fox News, Denver Post, Colorado Springs Gazette, Washington Examiner, Town Hall, Colorado Politics, and many others. He has appeared on Fox News, C-SPAN, OANN, Newsmax, and many other stations, the site said. Hunt earned his Bachelor of Arts degree in Philosophy and Religious Studies from Westmont College, a Master of Divinity from Fuller Theological Seminary, and Master of Political Management from George Washington University. He has served on many campaigns, including Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney's 2012 presidential campaigns. Hunt is an ultra runner, former river guide, and loves to be outdoors. He and his wife, Nicole, have four children.
Hi, this is Linda, and today I'm reading from the Health and Wellness section of the Midland Reporter Telegram. Today is Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Promote Organ Donation During National Donate Life Month by Brandy McDonald. More than 100,000 people are currently on the wait list for a transplant in the United States. In Texas, more than 10,000 people are waiting for a transplant, with someone added to the list every 9 minutes. According to DonateLifeTexas.org, approximately 17 people die every day waiting for a transplant. Just one donor can save as many as 8 lives. National Donate Life Month was established in 2003, and each year in April, we recognize those individuals who gave the precious gift of life through organ, eye, and tissue donation. In 2021, Midland Memorial Hospital had a total of 7 donors, Out of those 7 donors, 24 organs were transplanted, and 15 recipients received tissue donation. At Midland Memorial Hospital, staff recently created the Donate Life Committee to raise awareness and promote organ, tissue, and eye donation. Through this committee, the team has raised more than $2,800 to help create a donor wall at the hospital. The hope is that once established, the donor wall will include a tree of life made of metal artwork, which will include the names of those in Midland County who gave the precious gift of donation by donating organs or tissue. The Donate Life Committee also helped implement an honor walk, where hospital staff gather along the hallway to honor a patient as they travel on their way to organ recovery. April 22nd is Blue and Green Day during National Donate Life Month. Staff at the hospital will gather at the flagpole to raise the Donate Life flag in celebration of this special day. What can you do to promote organ donation? Talk with your family or your close friends about your decision to donate. Very often, family members must make difficult decisions at the end of life. Having a conversation with family about your wishes to donate makes it a much easier transition. The organ donation process typically happens after the donor is deceased. However, some organs can be donated while the donor is still living. Examples include the kidney and parts of the lung or liver. According to HRSA, there are just as many live donors as deceased donors. ProParent. Lead by Example in Teaching to Apologize by Lindsay Balderas. As mentioned in a previous article, parents are often their child's first model of behavior. We model for our children every day, from simple and mundane tasks to complicated social interactions and emotional self-regulation. Our behaviors send a message to our children about the appropriate ways to interact with each other. One behavior that can be very challenging to master is apologizing. Understanding and recognizing that we have made an error and then setting our ego aside in order to take responsibility and apologize is no small task. Though we may think that simply telling our children to apologize is sufficient to help them learn this skill, the reality is we must also model it for our children and often. We've likely all been in a situation with our children in which our behavior was not completely in line with our morals and values. We may have lost our temper, said something that was not true, been impatient or rude. These things happen, and though we may feel a sense of shame or guilt because of our behavior, the reality is these situations provide a great opportunity to teach your child how to accept responsibility for behavior and apologize. Some may feel that apologizing to a child will undermine their authority. The reality is, children begin learning very early about appropriate and inappropriate behavior, and they generally know when we make a mistake or do something that makes them feel bad. When we fail to apologize, we threaten the respect and the trust in our relationship and miss a great learning opportunity. There are a few key things to model when delivering a heartfelt and sincere apology to your child. The first is to be on the child's eye level and make eye contact. Describe what the mistake was and why you believe it was a mistake. You may even want to explain that mistakes happen to everyone, but there is no excuse for hurting others, being unkind, etc. The end of the apology should include information about how you plan to change your behavior so it doesn't happen again. Here is an example. I lost my temper and I yelled at you. I didn't like the way it felt when I yelled. I'm feeling tired, but that is no excuse for treating you that way. I am sorry and I hope you can forgive. I will work hard to stay calm even when I feel tired. Apologizing to your child is a great opportunity to teach a difficult situation and also help strengthen your relationship with your child. Lindsay Balderas has her doctorate in special education from the University of North Texas and is an assistant professor in special education at the University of Texas Permian Basin, as well as the director of the Transformative Leadership Academy in Monahans. COM to Hold Water Walk to Cure Arthritis. Annual fundraiser brings awareness to benefits of water workouts to fight arthritis. by City of Midland Aquatics. COM Aquatics will hold its annual water walk to cure arthritis on April 29th. The 2022 campaign theme is Give $54 Tell 54, Move 54, in honor of the 54 million American children and adults living with the disease. The disease limits the activities of about 1 in 4. One of the best ways to fight back against arthritis is through exercise, specifically workouts in the water. Aquatic exercise specifically for individuals with arthritis, related rheumatic diseases, and or musculoskeletal conditions has been clinically proven in reducing pain levels, improving the ability to function independently in day-to-day life, and improve overall physical strength, balance, and range of motion, explained Rita Simmons, Aquatic Wellness Director for COM Aquatics. Simmons says she's hoping West Texas will discover more about these benefits when they participate in this year's water walk. By exercising in the water, individuals benefit from the properties of its environment like buoyancy and hydrostatic pressure, she said. The buoyancy of water reduces the influence of gravity on the body and its joints, allowing individuals the opportunity to exercise with greater ease. And if that isn't enough to encourage an arthritis sufferer to get moving, the pressure of the water also reduces swelling in the legs, helps minimize pain, builds muscle, and improves posture. Last year, COM Aquatics was one of the top 3 Texas fundraising teams for the Arthritis Foundation. We raised more than $2,300 during last year's event, Simmons said, and we had more than 50 members and guests participate. We hope to see even more people this year. Exercising in the water is fun, and our programs here at COM provide a friendly and supportive environment. Simmons said there are several ways to get involved with the water walk. The first way is through donating to the Arthritis Foundation. All funds raised support local arthritis education and programming. The second way is by joining her team, Wavemakers. Team members pledge to exercise safely in the water for 54 minutes through water walking, swimming, or attending an arthritis exercise class. The third way to be a part of the event is to stop by COM to learn more about community resources, exercise programs, and patient education materials. Angie Billingsley, Executive Director of the Arthritis Foundation, will be there all day to meet with people that have questions about living with arthritis in West Texas. Water Walk to Cure Arthritis will be held from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. April 29th and is open to all adults. A COM membership is not required for Team Wavemaker. Simply purchase the $10 one-day event pass to attend an arthritis class, water walk, or swim laps. Simmons said all participants will be eligible for prizes donated by local businesses, including H-E-B, Jumbarito, Michael's Grill, and more.
Turmeric effects on hair. Dear Dr. Roach, about a year ago, I started taking a turmeric supplement because friends had a positive result. I am a 78-year-old female. About 4 to 6 weeks later, I noticed my white hair was yellowing. My hairdresser asked about any changes in medications. When I mentioned turmeric, she commented that others had experienced yellowing. When I searched online, a reputable source reported that 16 to 17% of older women experienced yellowing. About the same number had experienced bowel changes, such as loose stools. I had recently noticed frequent loose stools and was rethinking that colonoscopy. After stopping turmeric, no more loose stools or yellow hair. I have turmeric in my spice cabinet and have used it in cooking, but that is relatively rare. No problems with that. MB. Answer: I had not read about oral curcumin or turmeric supplements causing hair to yellow, so I thank MB for writing. Loose stools or diarrhea is a well-known side effect of turmeric at relatively high levels. Some people use turmeric as a hair dye, but it's good to know that taking the supplement might change hair color, especially for people with white or gray hair.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, April 21st. Aging husband wants to screen potential suitors for his wife. Dear Abby, I am an old man, married to a wonderful woman who does everything for me. I'm in poor health and don't expect to live much longer. My wife is a youthful 80. She's trim, pretty, active, hard-working, loving, and sexy. She enjoys skiing, fishing, gardening, board games, puzzles, etc. She is the most organized person I have ever known. She likes to cook and entertain and is excellent at both. Although she has quite a few friends, widowed and otherwise, we don't know any men who would be acceptable as a future mate after I'm gone. She is financially independent and meticulous about keeping track of expenses. Neither of us is formally religious. To be blunt, I can't imagine a better wife for someone special. I would like us to meet a man, probably in his 70s, preferably widowed, physically active, romantically inclined, energetic, capable, with tools and household projects, not addicted to drugs or alcohol, financially independent, and preferably politically conservative, who would be a potential mate for her after I am gone. We have discussed this to a limited extent, but she has expressed little interest in the subject. I can't imagine she won't experience a renaissance after this albatross is off her neck. She has more than earned it. If you have any suggestions, I would appreciate them. Signed, Thankful in Washington. Dear Thankful, you are clearly a caring and protective husband who is deeply in love with and concerned for his wife. However, as much as you would like to screen the applicants to fill the vacancy that your death would create, there are some things a person must do for themselves. When you pass on, your wife may not feel ready to move on according to your timetable. Please let her make this decision for herself when the time is right. P.S. I am sorry you are not in better health, because it seems you and your wife have a strong and loving relationship that will not be easy to replace. Dear Abby, my grandson is in a relationship with a girl who manipulates him and abuses him emotionally. I told my grandson what she is doing, but he doesn't see it. Because of that, neither one of them is speaking to me. My grandson was a caring, happy person until he met her. Now he is withdrawn. He is working, but she is not. They are struggling to make a life for themselves. When I ask how he's doing, he just says, okay, and nothing more. Is there anything I can do to make him see what she is doing to him? Signed, It's Obvious in Iowa. Dear Obvious, no, you have done everything you can to try to enlighten your grandson, who, it appears, love has blinded. Now it's time for you to accept that nothing will change until he wakes up and smells the coffee.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.